Good morning, everybody. Before we get started, how about we have a prayer? Our dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to worship you freely here in Canada. We come to your house to learn about you through your word. God, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to know you and to serve you. And as we study your word today, may you provide us with clear minds and hearts so we can hear from you. Speak to us and meet us where we are at. Give us humble hearts to hear you. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. To be or not to be. Who here is familiar when they were in high school or maybe junior high and they're reading Hamlet? All right, awesome. So you remember this really important speech when Hamlet is contemplating death and suicide about how painful and miserable life has been. And he's really acknowledging whether death is better than life. And but he ultimately realizes that the alternative, which is death, is probably worse than life. So, when he's saying he's really contemplating whether to be or not to be, he's really contemplating whether to be alive or not. And, you know, it really sounds as though he didn't really, you know, have a lot to put confidence in. And that's why he's just feeling so discouraged and so miserable. And, you know, who here at one time or another has not felt that hopeless? You know, who here has not really felt like sometimes when you feel like life is just crashing down on you? Anybody here? Thank you for your honesty. You know, maybe not many of us have contemplated suicide, and however, I do suspect many of us have experienced that hopelessness in present circumstances in life. And you know, maybe we had a death of a loved one, or we failed an exam, or we're going through a breakup, or we didn't get the job that we were hoping for, but our coworker who's less deserving got the promotion instead of us. Or, we didn't get accepted into the school that we really wanted to get into. So, you know, we've all experienced disappointment in life where we just felt really, really discouraged. And, or we may have felt life was just so unfair to us. And that's when we're feeling like the world is just crashing down on us. So when we're going through these storms of life, we really need to have that confident assurance of God where he's there for us. But sometimes when we're right in the middle of the storm, we're just totally swept away from the feelings and the circumstances that we're experiencing, that we can't have that confident assurance. So then how do we get this? When we're in the middle of the storm, how can we find this confidence? So I believe this has a lot to do with our heart and our mindset, where we need to consciously choose to be confident in God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So, for today's passage, we're going to discuss who we're going to put our confidence in and what we need to do first in order to obtain this confidence. So, today's passage is from Psalm 46, and it provides us Christians with this assurance to put confidence in God, who is our comfort, who is our security, not only in the present, but also in the future as well. And he provides us this assurance in a very personal way. And this is definitely cause for celebration. So in the passages before Psalm 46, we see that David, he's continually lifting up his prayers to God with unwavering trust and confidence and for God to rescue him and deliver him from Saul, the army of Saul pursuing him. But then by the time we get to this passage, you know, it deals with not only just rescue for one person, such as David, but for the people of Israel, where they can provide hope for their present circumstances as well as for the future. So let's examine the text in greater detail. So Psalm 46 can be broken down into three sections. The first is talking about this statement of confidence. And then after that, we're going to provide reason for this confidence. And then the last section, we're going to talk about the vindication of the confidence. So the psalmist who declares three really important characteristics of God. God is his refuge, his strength, and his ever-present help in times of trouble. When the psalmist declares God as his strength to protect his people, he conveys this in three metaphors. When he talks about refuge, he's talking about rest. And when he's talking about strength, he's talking about protection. And when talking about times of trouble, it's like God is a fortress where he's elevating his people to a place where they can be restored and strengthened. So all of these really convey God's strength for his people, where, you know, when we're feeling like the earth is crashing down upon us, that God can be our refuge, our strength, and our fortress, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. You know, at the time of Psalm, God was really referring to also God's coming judgment and how Israel can express their confidence in God's protection when the world is feeling like it's in complete turmoil. This can be like literal natural disasters, as we're actually seeing today. And the psalmist is describing earth, like the mountains are falling away, but it's not just physical, it's not just natural disasters, but it can also be emotional turmoil that we are experiencing as well. Think of it like an anchor, where when we are just surrounded by these difficulties, that we have this anchor that can hold on, that we can hold on to, that will secure us, so we're not, you know, just flailing away by our circumstances. We're driven by feelings and driven by these circumstances that we are struggling with. Each one of these metaphors really refers to when people are in need. So it's like when we are in distress, we really need that special protection from God to help us navigate through the circumstances. I mean, we always need God's protection in general. I mean, that's a given, right? We, you know, we've all heard the Sunday school stories. We've heard time and time again so many passages, right? So clearly, we do have his protection on an everyday basis and in general. But I think what the psalmist is trying to say is that we especially need this when we are experiencing difficulty. And this can be tremendous comfort for us when we are going through tough times and the storms of life, where we have this confident assurance that God is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in times of trouble. So the psalmist is pretty much just saying it like a fact, like, hey, this is the statement that we can have this confidence in God. Because he is our refuge and strength, then we have no reason to fear if anything unexpected or chaotic happens to us. So then, the psalmist then provides us the reason for this confidence. This leads us to, it's like providing evidence for that initial statement that we just referred to. It's like, you know, when you're in court and you're stating a fact, but now you're providing evidence for your to support your argument. The psalmist provides a clear picture of future hope and how God would not only help us in the present, but also that how we are to live confidently in the present. When the psalmist writes, God is in the midst of her, this is really a metaphor of blessing and restoration of God's people. And how although his people, they're currently going through distress right now, they can be comforted by the future hope that is coming. As the passage describes how the nations are in uproar and kingdoms will fall, it clearly illustrates that God will not be shaken and he will stand even in the midst of complete and utter ruin of earth. And this is really talking about also about the end times in the tribulation period. And this provides us as God's people tremendous assurance and confidence that we do not fear, that he's always ready to help us, and he will be the steadfast presence for us, even in the end times as well. And in verse 7, when describing how the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress conveys that not only was God the God of Jacob with this key biblical figure in the Old Testament, but he's also the God for us even today. And this provides clear evidence of how we can have confidence in God in our present troubles, and that God will be with us in the midst of any chaos, difficulties, or troubles. You know, by the time we get to verse 8, the psalmist is providing us a glimpse of how the confidence will ultimately conclude, that we are to remember all the acts of history that will all come to a head and all work together for God's greater purposes, to restore mankind. There will be a final vindication of God's triumphant at where the wars will finally stop and there will finally be peace. And I think that can be especially comforting to us as we see, if we just turn on the news and we can just see all the wars that are happening right now and that have been happening, not just today, like, you know, in the Ukraine, but there's been ongoing wars for decades and decades and generations. So that can be such a comfort to us that one day all these will end and that there will be a time of peace. And this also provides God's people with tremendous hope, because when we are in distress and we're feeling like, wow, the suffering on earth will never end, but actually this passage provides us comfort that yes, one day the suffering will end and that there will be peace. And then in verse 10, the psalmist brings us to the key passage, you know, talking about how we are to be still and know that he is God, that he will work out his purposes. You know, at the time when this was written, the nations of Israel and Judah were really in a bit of a crisis because there was pressure to abandon their religious beliefs and follow the worldly beliefs. But this verse reminded his people of not choosing the worldly option, but to know that he is God and that he's encouraging them to choose to commit to God and trust in his sovereignty. To that he will ultimately redeem mankind and restore his people. And this can provide us confidence and comfort as well when we seek his refuge, strength, and trust that he is our ever-present help in times of trouble. So now that we've heard, you know, how the psalmist puts his confidence, like, you know, where the psalmist puts his confidence, where do we put our confidence? You know, in order for us also to have this unshakable confidence, we need to first understand what can shake our confidence. When we are not being still in God, we are not able to have this confidence in God. You know, we live in this world of instant gratification, where we're kind of completely inundated with social media, with the news, technology. The world is just going at a rapid pace that we've never gone before, and we're only going even faster. And it can really feel sometimes to be still in God, it's an absolute impossible task to do. And it's truly necessary for us to have this confidence in God, but it's just so hard to do so when we're, you know, when the world is just going at a pace that maybe as humans, we weren't really meant to live in this type of pace. But this passage will give us hope on how we can live presently, even in the midst of this rapid pace. So let's examine some obstacles for being still. You know, as I just mentioned, you know, if being still is the prerequisite to having confidence in God. So some of the obstacles being still, as I mentioned up here, is like social media and technology. But those are external factors. But if we look at some internal factors, it could be anxiety and restlessness. And this could all be a result of us living in this society, yes, but we could also have there's many other reasons that can cause people to be anxious and restless. We could have a mistrust in God. We could have had bad experiences in our life that caused us to not trust in God, to doubt in God. Or, you know, we have lost our way. We have lost our faith in God. Or we think God is actually not enough. God's way is not the best way. We can come to that place, that really dark place where we have just lost all hope in God. Or, you know, what if we prayed for someone who was sick? We were really praying and enlisting God to help them get better, but they ended up passing away. And we felt like, wow, God, you did this to me purposely, and you didn't answer my prayer. We can really personalize some of these circumstances and take it as a personal attack that God really let us down. And that could cause us to lose trust in God as well. Or what if you don't have the gift of singleness, but you've been praying for a spouse forever? Or, you know, you've been praying for a child for a very long time and God didn't answer your prayers. So there's many ways that we can kind of doubt in God and we can lose our trust in God. So when circumstances in life really don't turn out the way you hope they would, as a natural reaction, we can blame God. And we can think, wow, he has caused this to happen to us. And now I don't know if I can trust you anymore. And these areas can really paralyze us in our faith journey and begin to erode our faith over time, to the point where we really stop trusting God altogether and we abandon our faith. We walk away. What if we grew up in the church? What if we had Christian parents and we just, you know, some of these circumstances cause us to just walk away from our faith? We've seen it time and time again. And so how do we overcome them then? You know, we first need to understand that being still and acknowledging God is not a feeling or an emotion. That being still is a commitment, even when we don't feel like it. This exhortation to be still, sometimes we can feel as though we're running around like a chicken with its head chopped off, right? And we have so many deadlines at work. We have so many papers we need to write for school. Or, you know, we have kids and they have so many demands. But the psalmist is saying, be still, take a breath, and stop striving and just come back to God and put your trust and the one who is secure and never changing. That God will work it out. And that we just need to acknowledge that he is God, that he is sovereign, and he can work it out. And that in itself, just that knowledge, that cognitive awareness, can truly calm our anxieties and turn our anxieties into peace and calmness. And I know what you're thinking, you know, like that. Okay, being still is totally contrary to human nature, especially in our day now, you know. But this is really necessary in order for us to have that confident assurance in God during times of difficulty. And I hope some of these passages on the screen will really help you when you're also overcoming these obstacles of, you know, not trusting in God. And I hope they are encouraging for you when you're struggling with anxiety, doubt, or you're losing your faith. And also, when we feel that none of these can help, and that can happen, I know it can seem like a very Sunday school answer, okay, I'm struggling, give me a passage. But there are times when it can feel very contrite and just like just a typical Sunday school answer. It's not very helpful. And we have to sometimes just keep it real, and that what we would do, we would encourage you to seek your pastor or to join a small group and have accountability so your support network can pray for you. We're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians, and that is definitely one way that spiritual attack can really isolate us from the rest of the pack, we can be very vulnerable for tremendous attack. So I would very much encourage you, if you're not part of a small group or you don't have accountability partners, I would encourage you to do so, especially if you're really struggling to trust and believe in God's word. Or, you know, I'd encourage you to seek some professional Christian counseling that to help you navigate through the struggles that you're going through. If you feel that you can't hear from God's word or that you don't really want accountability and support, or you don't even know where you're struggling and how you can get some help, I would encourage you to seek some spiritual counseling. Actually, Tyndale has a fantastic counseling program. I personally utilize quite a bit of their services, so I would highly recommend if that's what you're looking for as well. So then, what does this mean for me? Remember at the beginning of the sermon, we were discussing Hamlet and how he was struggling to understand how painful and miserable life has been for him and his infamous line, to be or not to be, but acknowledging that the alternative of death is probably worse than life because he actually doesn't even know what's going to happen after life. You know, when we're going through these storms of life, it can really feel, as I mentioned before, like the whole world is crashing down on you. And we really feel like there's absolutely no way out of it, that no one can understand what we're going through, and the only solution is just either abandon our faith or leave Earth. And we're just feeling like we're drowning. It's during these times, especially these times, that Psalm 46 is especially relevant for us, because it can be an important reminder of us to have this confident assurance that God is there for us and that he's with us in the middle of the storm, even when we don't feel like he's there with us in the middle of the storm. And I believe, you know, back to what I mentioned earlier, it has a lot to do with our heart and our mindset, where we need to consciously choose to put our confidence in God. So if the prerequisite for us having confidence in God is to be still, then we are to make a conscious choice whether or not to be still or not. We already discussed earlier, bro, external factors that can be obstacles that come up that may be out of our scope of our control. But we also discussed internal factors that could possibly be within our scope of control. We have a conscious choice in our mindset and where we choose to put our confidence. And if we're willing to be still before God, because that is when we're able to hear his voice and discern what his will is for us. So here's the question. Now you have a decision to contemplate. Will you choose to be still or not to be still and have this confidence in God? Let's pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, what a tall order it can be in order to be still in such a fast-paced society, where there are times when we feel as though our whole world is crashing down on us and no one can understand the struggles that we're going through. But how we have learned today that in order to sustain this confidence in you, we must first be still So when there are times when we are feeling anxious and restless, or feel as though the world is crashing down on us, and feel completely hopeless and discouraged, I pray that your Holy Spirit will remind us to be still and be reminded that you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our ever-present help in times of trouble. You really are here for us and with us. We just need to make that conscious decision to believe. Help us trust that you are worthy, and we just need to be still and acknowledge that. And God, if we feel that even sometimes your scriptures are not encouraging us, help us get to the root of the problem. Help us seek some help, whether it's seeking your pastor, whether it is seeking a small group, so you have others to partner together with you, to pray with you, so you have accountability partners to hold you up when you're feeling down, when you can't even pray, that your small group can help you pray. Or you may have other struggles, other internal struggles that have been plaguing you for a long time. I pray, God, that you will help those individuals. You'll help them seek the help that they need, so then they don't feel all alone and they don't feel like they need to go through their struggles by themselves. But that you can help them by first dealing with some of these struggles and then help them be still so they can be confident in you. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.